Hi, everybody. Welcome to Domain Sherpa. Thank you for tuning into the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Sherpa short titled Can't Stop, Won't Stop, where Drew and I are joined by Matt Gould and Brady Anthony Brumfield of Unstoppable Domains to talk about what's going on over there. And in the process, we talk about Web 2 domains, Web 3 domains, some of their recent updates, such as their recent integration with Afternic, and what's coming up on the roadmap. We also talk about the upcoming ICANN GTLD round, fractionalization, domain funding, and the domain aftermarket in general. All that and more is coming up on today's show. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at DomainSherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at DS.TV. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button where you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Muse.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. And with the guys on the show today, big shout out to Unstoppable Domain. Domains, the ICANN accredited registrar that gives domainers powerful tools and the lowest pricing in the industry. They've just joined the Afternic Fast Transfer Network and offer fully featured landers with LTO, self-brokerage, and just 3% commissions. You can also register $5.coms every Friday, and until Cyber Monday, you can get up to 1,800.com transfers for just $5.55 each. Talk to them on X or Name Pros to learn more. And big shout out to Escrow.com. Here at Media Options, we've relied on Escrow.com for years. They've handled some of our biggest deals, including 7- and 8-figure transactions. We use their specialized domain services because they understand domains. As the largest online licensed and audited escrow operator, escrow.com is fast, secure, and accountable with workflows built specifically for domains. Whether you're buying your first domain or closing million-dollar deals, they protect buyers and sellers around the world from fraud while ensuring smooth transfers. Escrow.com, domain deals done right. And big shout out to DNX.com. DNX is your go-to domain intelligence platform featuring all-in-one search results from the top marketplaces, including GoDaddy, Cedo, and Atom. DNX is the most advanced way to find and acquire your domain name, so go to dnx.com and get your domain. A big shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at mediaoptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain opportunities available on the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and of course, domain investing. And we've been talking about NamesCon and done talking about NamesCon. It was great. But next up, we've got the ICA annual member meeting taking place January 15th to the 17th at the Park MGM in Las Vegas. Very excited about what's in store for the meeting. So go to ICA.Vegas for more information and to register. With all that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J On, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, and I'm the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is a Sherpa short, where we usually pick a domain topic or an article or an interview, and we dig into something for a bit. And on today's show, we're going to talk about Unstoppable Domains, the modern ICANN-accredited registrar that puts domainers in control. Full disclosure, Drew is an investor. They're a sponsor, but as they've become a more ubiquitous force in the domain space. That's right. I said ubiquitous. It's only right we bring the guys on to talk about some things. So with that, let's go ahead and introduce the guests. Over to my left, I got my boy, my co-host, Andrew Rosner, a.k.a. Morpheus, a.k.a. the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, a.k.a. Bob Lee Swagger, the Sniper, a.k.a. Drew. Drew got what I need, a.k.a. never going to give Drew up. Get Rick Rolled, Graybeard, the domain pirate is in the house. What's up, dude?
So much. But yeah. Leave it at that.
All right. Well, let me introduce the special guests. You know what I'm saying? We got our boys. I guess I'm going to continue to go around in a circle on the show for the first time. We got from Unstoppable, the one and only Brady Anthony Brumfield, a.k.a. Tom Brady, a.k.a. the Brady Bunch, a.k.a. Carmelo Anthony Brumfield, a.k.a. Brumfield of Dreams, head of growth at Unstoppable Domains on the show for the first time. What is up, dude?
And the
What's
only
going
dude
on,
with,
guys?
Like, nice hair. You're like God, the first dude to ever come on main circle with like... With like a full head of like, you know, it's like I want to touch your hair. It's like, it's so nice.
Thank you, Drew. You know, no one ever notices that when I do my X live streams with no visuals. So it's good I get to show it off. That's why Matt invited me today. You know, someone's got to be the pretty face for Unstoppable.
Well, welcome, man. Welcome. I'm glad you're able to make it. Definitely good to have you here. All right. And then last but not least, below me, we got the one and only Matt Gould, a.k.a. Goldfinger, a.k.a. Ra's Al Ghul, a.k.a. Gould's out for summer, a.k.a. I ain't saying he's a gold digger, but he ain't messing with no broke founder and CEO of Unstoppable Domains. What's going on, Matt? How are you?
Good, man. Happy to be here on the 1 year anniversary, or just about when I was here last time. So good That's to right. see you guys again. And, you know, just excited about all that's happening in domaining. It's been a very good year, I think, for a lot of people.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Well, to your point, you know, you were on a year ago. So for those who have not seen that episode, you can always go back and check it out, but literally almost a year to the day. And, you know, it's funny, domains are kind of like a, you know, old school at this point, right? In legacy, but you guys are on the forefront of a lot of pretty cool stuff. And I think that probably from an update standpoint, there's more that has happened with you all as a registrar and as a domains business in the last 12 months than probably any other domain company. And which is also,
I would say, like, as an investor since the very beginning of your company, I would say that I'm like very proud to see my little baby growing up. You know what I'm saying? Y'all were like, you know, and I look, I had the whole, like, you know, stuck in a Web3 sort of world, you know, view. But the world is much bigger than that. And, you know, that is still a valid concept. And there is a utility for those Web3 domain names as wallet addresses more and more as adoption continues. But the much bigger pie, the much more, let's say, critical world in which you operate is just good old fashioned legacy DNS domain names. And I would say you guys are doing some incredibly innovative stuff and moving very quickly in that space. So tell us about it.
Yeah. Well, I think, it, you know, originally when we launched, we were Web3 focused. And with that, we were just trying to build a new thing that everyone we thought would migrate over to, right? We're just like, oh, everyone's just going to adopt Web3 and they're going to move over this way. And what we're actually seeing is that Web3 is now adopting Web2 stuff.
Exactly.
So it's actually going the other way. And yeah. And usually that just, I think it depends on what's the bigger market, right? So if your new technology is the bigger market, then the old technology is going to migrate to the new technology. If your new technology—
It has to be 10x bigger.
Right. And if your new technology is the smaller market, then I think you end up getting integrated into the older technology. And that's what we're seeing now. So, you know, we went to ICANN, got our ICANN registrar license. We're going through our ICANN RSP process to run all the back end. All, I guess, easy way to say it is we're doing all of the Web2 stuff. So we're building all the Web2, you know, traditional DNS domain infrastructure. We're really focused on that. And then another thing that we've done is we're putting all of the crypto Web3 stuff behind the scenes. Because if it's just going to be a technology that's integrated into what you're doing, then you're not even going to know. And I think most domainers who use our product don't even know anymore, right? So they just use domains, register.com domain names on $5 Friday, and they don't have any idea what's going on in the back end, and they don't really need to know. And what will surface for them is they'll have new features. And right now, the most noticeable of those features is being able to set cryptocurrency addresses. But I'm telling you, those people have no idea that their domain has anything on chain that's allowing those cryptocurrency addresses to be checked. And they don't need to know. And that's kind of the direction that we're going, trying to remove all of that talking about the technology so that you just come to our website, you just buy domains. And then all of that other stuff just happens. You don't have to worry about it. And then as more features roll out for Web3, they'll be incorporated into your Web2 domain name without you even have to understand that there's something happening there. And so, yeah, that's how the market has changed and shifted over the past couple of years. And we've been one of the few that made the switch. And we're also probably the biggest that made the switch and pushed really hard in this direction because we saw the writing on the wall a few years back and realized that actually the technology is going to roll out in a way that's different than most people think. And it seems to be that thesis is playing out. So we're pretty happy about it.
Yeah, no. And I think and we talked about this a year ago, right? And I think, you know, we said that was one of the things that we were really excited about what you guys are doing is being able to bridge the two together in a way that really makes sense, you know? And we even saw it with ENS domains when they did the partnership with GoDaddy, right? And, you know, and I actually felt like the winner of that sort of partnership was GoDaddy because ENS kind of said, hey, look, we're going to just...
It was kind of like falling on your sword.
You know, we're going to give, you know, give all the functionality that, you know, sort of makes us unique. And then it kind of makes it like, okay, well, then why do you need ENS, right? You know, why do you need an ENS domain name if it has now the functionality of an ENS domain on a Web2 legacy domain?
They actually just came out this past week saying that they're going to be applying to ICANN for .ENS so that they will actually be in the ENS and the DNS. So they've applied for their own TLD. And Unstoppable has said that we're going to be applying for our own TLDs in the next round as well. And, you know, we have several that we're going to be going after. And we'll figure out exactly how many. So we've been doing that already for, you know, 2 years or whatever. And what I'm trying to say is, like, everyone else in Web3 is finally, it's clicking like, oh, actually, everyone's not going to, all the people who own a bunch of .com domains, they're not rushing to buy your .eth domain or your .com. They're not rushing to buy you, right? That's not what's happening. And instead, you have to go the other direction and you have to, like, take the web, the traditional DNS domains, and then, you know, enable them with the Web3 tech. And like I just said, people really don't want to know about it. And I would also say that a lot of the promise of things that we would want to do on chain, it's going to be, it's a long-term promise. It's not a short-term promise. The only added utility you get right now is a wallet address. And like Drew was saying in the beginning, like, that is good. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's not critical. It's not 10x better for a business to have that. And, you know, Brady and I talk about this a lot. I do think that there's interesting things happening. I think lending is interesting. Others in the industry think that fractionalization is interesting. Everyone has kind of a different take on what they think is going to be.
I mean, look, nobody has gone down the path of fractionalization as much as I have. I still believe it's an incredible opportunity. Like, this show every day, I get hundreds of people sending me absolute piece of shit domain names. And they're like, hey, can you help me broker this domain? And it's like, no, but you know what? You should, instead of buying a bunch of piece of shit domains, you should buy shares of really good domain names like we did on Rally Road. But they don't get it. And I don't know. The market hasn't responded the way I anticipated. I still believe fundamentally that it is a good, if done right, as we did it with Rally Road, that it is it's very good for the domain market overall. And I think that it's much better for most investors who are not, you know, elite domain investors and have a clear track record of, you know, be able to choose and resell good domain names. But I just don't know that there's a market. I mean, from my experience, there doesn't seem appear to be, you know, much of a market.
Yeah. And that's actually the conversation that we have internally, is that I think that a lot of these things that we want to do with on-chain with domain names, the market's not here yet. And so at least at Unstoppable Domains, like, people ask me, like, hey, when are you guys going to try to tackle, you know, this or that Web3 feature? And I'm like, the next year, we're just going to be focusing on the bread and butter, getting all the DNS pieces correct, and building the back end for it, and like, build a business around a traditional Web2 domain name registrar. And I don't see us really working on those more radical features probably not even this next year, right? But eventually there'll be a time to where people will start to want to step in. Like, people will want to start fractionalizing, like you're saying, or people will want to try to tap on-chain liquidity, or maybe they'll want to start tying their social accounts together. We saw Twitter just did X handles. I think you guys are aware of that. I mean, I think
that we were actually quite involved in helping to design that marketplace.
Right. Yeah, in fact, really quick, just not to cut you off, but just to kind of promote our own thing for a second. I mean, we still are very much involved with them on, you know, helping folks acquire, you know, what are rare handles. So they, you know, have launched their new marketplace because they recognize that there is a market for people that want to buy, sell, acquire, you know, businesses that want to acquire their best possible handles that have been dormant, and some of them have just been stuck in sort of an inactive state for so long and effectively.
And not to speak for them, but in my mind, one of the primary reasons to have done it also was just user experience. Like, the companies and the people that were trying to buy and sell handles today were basically, it felt like you were doing a crack deal in an alley behind, you know, behind a pub. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't know what you were doing. There's no way to really protect the money. It was a very bad experience. And you had big companies trying to get handles, and it was like a crack deal. Like, that doesn't work. So anyway,
I think when you see things like that happening too, it's evidence that people want to do it, right?
Yes.
So like, instead of trying to prevent, you have to make a decision as a company. So like, do you want to just stop people from doing that behavior because it's against what your network are doing, or do you want to enable it? You have to actively choose. And so actively choosing to turn it on And if you look at other places, there's a couple companies that decide to
fight.
This
is why I love you, by the way, because you see that stuff in a very simplified way. But most business decision makers, and unfortunately, as I suffer from this on a daily basis, don't see things that clearly. It is a binary decision. You, as a business owner, need to make a decision. Do you want to enable it or do you want to disable it? That's it. And then lean into either decision.
Yeah. And so just to tie it back, I would say, if we see more companies trying to let users own their handles, right, like X is doing, that could also spur some development in our direction for adding
100%
on domains. And so when I talk to my team, you know, I say, let's work on the things that we know we have to get right, which is just all the back end, you know, all the things that are not fun to talk about, like making domains cheap and making, you know, bulk actions fast and all these traditional, low commission structure, marketplaces that are easy to use, get on the Afternic Fast Transfer Network, like all these pieces that are just needed. And when I see the fat pitch coming, we will swing, right? So like, I'm waiting for that fat pitch on like, oh, now we can let people know, boom, here's how we can do some crypto things with your domain names to make it better for you, the end user. And then we'll take it off. But I don't need to force it down people's throats, which is what I think people were trying to do a couple of years ago with crypto and Web3.
Sure. Well, yeah, you know,
I like that you brought up fractionalization, Drew. Matt and I go back and forth on it all the time. I'm probably a bit more bullish than he is. But I have a question for you, Drew. I'm in the camp of real fractionalization has never been tried. And
I mean, we literally did it fully SEC compliant. We spent 3 years getting all the regs. We literally helped write the fucking regulations.
Yeah. And so why did it fail? I'm curious, like retrospective on Rally Road.
I don't want to say that it failed. It's still, these are still active listings and they've got fully, you know, these are real IPOs. Each domain name went through the real SEC IPO process. And, they were fully subscribed. So it wasn't a failure, but it was like pulling teeth to get them subscribed. The aftermarket on MJ.com is actually, in the last few months, has actually heated up. We are now trading above the IPO price. But hotspot.com, which I think is trading at like below what domain investors would pay for that domain name, and directions.com, same case. Those are the aftermarkets are just like very light. There's not a lot of activity in the aftermarket. And so in that sense, it is a failure because there's not, you know, there should be a healthy, you know, aftermarket of trading the shares in these names.
Yeah.
The reason being that the people that understand what these things are worth are really good at buying domain names. And so that's what they do. And the people that aren't, they don't have a fucking clue. And I think that's really just the disconnect.
Seem like a distribution problem where you're, sorry, JT, where you're good. Like the fractionalization platform does not have a critical mass of domain investors to
that's
have a
also,
marketplace.
That's also an issue.
If it were built into a registrar marketplace, you would probably see a lot more uptake since you have a lot of domainer customers involved. Or, I mean, do you think that something about the structure or the guarantees, like legally speaking, turned off domain investors?
Here's what I think. It was also some of the challenge, right? So it was like such a process getting the approvals and getting it launched and everything from the SEC approval through, you know, working with Rally to get them live to launching them, right? All of the names that were launched on Rally were launched at good price points for those domains, right? But, you know, it was two domains, a bucket of domains, right? So it's like the issue that you also have is when it's not that many, right? We really need an exit. Like one of these names has to be sold. That is going to deliver returns to the investors because they got good value when they bought their shares, right? And there is a benefit to being like, hey, I'm going to tag along with Drew. I'm going to tag along with other, you know, successful investors who know what they're doing, who are able to quarterback this. And I do think that, yes, if you had it integrated in Unstoppable, where you had, you know, enough sort of like, you know, movement and activity and potential investors, you know.
In fact, Rally is starting to do partnerships with different industry partners, such as in the collectible space, such as in the card space, such as in the auction space. And so actually you guys would be a perfect partner and they're looking for people like you. So actually, that's a conversation we should have. Yeah, because I think JT's right. I think that...
Well, and that the point I was going to make is that, and since it was a very select group and it was a little bit, you know, kind of tough to just get them done and out the door, you know, domains don't move quickly, right? Sales cycles on domains, even when we're actively outbounding domains, I mean, it's months, if not years to, you know, to get it in the hands of the proper end user to realize the return on investment for the original owner, right? And I think that domains, since they don't move so quick, it's like, you know, once we have an exit or two on the names that are at rally and people realize like, oh, this really does work. Oh, what was my annualized return over that investment over that period of time, and recognize that, hey, that was a really solid return, especially compared to what other investments might look like, especially Bitcoin right now. Right. And, you know, today. So I do think that if you end up with with more movement, less friction, those kinds of things, and then it's just part of people's investment strategy and the ability to kind of go in and out more fluidly, right? I think also will be things that will improve, like the efficiency of it as that improves. I think ultimately will make it more of a viable, opportunity across the board. So Brady, I'm with you. I think the opportunity is still very much there, provided that it's done right. You know, we still have a little bit of work to do on the rally side with the names that we went public with in order to show investors that that worked and to get a good return for the folks that have participated, which will happen at some point. And then when it does, it'll just further validate the thesis. So,
well, I still think the most important thing is that domains do well, right? And that like all of these things are second or third order,
100%. But domains are doing well and they've continued to do well. And, you know, I think in the 20 years or so, 19 years that I've been running this business, I would say I've only had 1 year where I felt like domains were doing worse than the year before.
What year was that? I'm curious.
2009.
Okay. Well, that's an exceptional year. So
exactly. Even 2020. Where I literally told my whole team, JT, I just hired JT, and I literally told the whole team, guys, look, you know, the world just got shut off. I put aside 12 months of capital to keep us running. You know, I'll pay you salaries for 12 months. At the end of 12 months, we either have a business or we don't. And my expectation is that that was it. You know, there was good night, Irene, close the doors. You know, we're gonna basically hang out and bullshit for 12 months and, you know, try and dig up as much business as we can. But I really thought that's it, game over. And then
everyone moved online because they
couldn't. And then it took about 45 days and the whole world went online and our business went up 300%. And 2021 turned out to be the best year in the history of our company. And I think we finally beat it last year. But it's like been nonstop growth. So.
Well, nonstop growth. We should talk a little bit about AI and specifically .ai, right? I'm watching this thing. So I finally decided I'm going to be building my own personal portfolio more professionally next year. So I got to get it. I got to run it by the board, right? Because I need to get everything checked off and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just going to take, you know, what for me is a little bit of money and then go out there and so I can really understand the experience from the user end. But I honestly also think it's a good place to invest. For at least for me personally, long term, like for my family, like putting this together and just start buying it. Because I'm sitting here in the domain industry, I know everything about the domain industry now. And I'm like, you know what? I don't have my own portfolio outside of the 50 or so domains that I picked up as an entrepreneur over the years. I'm like, I'm going to start professionally building it. And so when I'm looking out there, I think the AI trend, I do believe it's still got a couple more years. We may have, you know, some corrections along the way. But I'm still suspicious of the .ai extension. Especially the current values I'm seeing going off for some of these domain names.
100%. I mean, you're preaching to the choir, brother.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean,
if you're a professional domain investor and you're, you know, sure, you can put 5%, 10% of your portfolio into alternative extensions. I have maybe 1% of my portfolio, 2%. But if you're calling it an investment, like that's a bingo card and that's okay. You can put 2%, 5% in a bingo card. The investment is .com. There is nothing else that's an investment. And so, like, that is the investable asset class is premium.com domain names. That's it. It's kind of like Saylor says, there is no second best. .ai isn't second best. It certainly fucking isn't first best. It's training wheels best. And eventually those companies become big boys. And unless they're one of the five majors that are literally a pure play AI company that's an LLM, then they have no business being on AI because it will become redundant as culturally and technologically everything becomes AI. And so it's just assume that your company runs on AI technology. Like, you know, if you do pizza delivery, you probably run on AI, but you don't need to have pizza.ai. You know what I mean? Like, it's just redundant. It's like Google being Google.search. They don't need Google.search or Google search. It's redundant.
And yeah, I was going to say, look, and I would agree with Drew big picture, but I do think that you're seeing pockets. And I think it's like, we talk about all domains that we invest in, you know, you make money on the buy, not the sell. And, you know, part of the challenge with .ai domains is a lot of folks, you know, bought a lot of .ais, you know, a few years ago. So now they're reaping the benefits. And I think that there's still very much a demand for .ai domain names, and you're seeing end users using .ai domain names. So there is value there. It just ends up really being based on, well, what did you acquire the domain for? And how much longer does the, you know, does the runway go to, you know, where you're going to see the kind of prices? Like, are those the prices for good? Are those prices in a bubble? And, you know, 100K, 200K, you know, I mean, we're definitely seeing it right now. I mean, anybody who has a solid .ai portfolio that they acquired for, you know, good prices is like, you know, they're doing very, very well.
I'm seeing the TLD develop. So like .ai as a brand, right? I'm seeing that develop. I am seeing a lot of startups adopt it. But I'll tell you, when I'm watching the registrations on that one, the ones that really bother me are like the compound words, like two words or three words .ai or whatever. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, yes, there could be a bespoke market for .ai domain names for pure play companies. And so if I'm thinking about it like that, I think there's a pretty good chance that one word .ai's could maintain premium values for the long term, right? So they could maintain premium values, $100,000 domain sales, $1 million domain sales. But at the same time, I think the long tail for .ai is much more challenging, because if you're going to buy a two-word .ai or three-word .ai, it's like, why? Why don't I just get a two-word.com? So we could end up with a situation where the branding for .ai becomes a bespoke TLD, where like the, you know, like you're going to have some wealthy companies, some wealthy AI-focused companies, and they're going to want to be on that .ai brand. So we could have this really weird market in .ai, especially because the renewal fees are $60 a year. So small business is not interested in that. So I think the way that they're structuring that TLD and going to market, it could be a new kind of real estate in the domain industry, where the bespoke high end, you're going to have these six-figure sales, but you're not going to do very well on like the two-word combinations. And I think that's one of the things that I've been seeing, and I'm kind of curious if that plays out in the next couple of years.
That's a really interesting take. I think that it makes a lot of sense. So it will be very, very interesting to see. But let's not get too hung up in that, because I'd like to talk a little bit more about Unstoppable. Although the other stuff is great, and obviously Drew will go on and on. But the, you know, you guys are doing some really great things on the Web 2 side, which I think is super cool. We talked about this a year ago about how you guys could leverage sort of your expertise in tech, the fact that you're able to start a bit fresh, you're a bit more agile and nimble than some of the legacy domain companies who we've seen sort of have to fight through technical debt and bloat in order to just do basic stuff, right? You guys being pretty fresh and being technically savvy and tech, you know, sort of based at heart, give you guys a bit of an advantage there. So watching you guys bridge that gap is awesome. And then you guys have really been very, very active on the Web2 front in general, you know, promotions. You mentioned the $5 Fridays, and we call it out in the intro to the show. Brady, I know that's kind of your jam. Like, what are the... $5.55 Fridays and $5 off all transfers in, no promo code required. What
we
you guys
could probably work on polishing it a bit. There's a lot of fives involved in our promos, but yeah, $5.com Fridays every Friday, including Black Friday. And then our current promo on transfers is $5.55 for comms, similar discounts on every other TLD. And that is up to 1800 of that price, which is effectively 10 grand in, you know, transfer discounts for every domainer, as long as you KYC with us. And that goes until Cyber Monday. So we've got a couple of those going on.
And I think because of that, I mean, you guys see a lot of inbound domains under management, right? I mean, if, and I'm trying to look to pull up from, you know, Andrew Allman posts the kind of, you know, transfers in and transfers out and, you know, new registrations for new, you know, registrars. And
we're getting big, but that's good because we need to reach a certain size in order to be competitive in the market. And if you look, a lot of
how many domains under management do you have?
We're not disclosing. The ICANN data is a few months behind, but you know, we're not talking about our DOMs. And just because we really want to focus on the metrics that matter, which is having happy customers. And okay. Yeah, we're trying to be as stealthy as we can as we figure out this industry. But I'll say
I'm still trying to figure that shit out.
Yeah. Well, I'll say a couple things. You know, recently CDU's up for sale, right? And then I think CentralNIC is also part of that. So,
no, those are separate. So IONOS, which is a German public company, is selling CDO, which appears to me like it's trying to fire sell it for the year end, because their Q4 is going to be way worse than their Q3. And the Q3 was 67% revenue reduction. So, I think that that's trying, you know, I think they're trying to fire sell that before the year end. And then you've got CentralNIC, which is selling Parking Crew, the whole domain parking business, which includes Moniker, which was one of the strong, I think they were the number two registrar in the industry back when I started. It was Networks, GoDaddy, and then Moniker, and then Network Solutions. GoDaddy, Moniker, Enom, Network Solutions, I think.
And then there's also consolidation in the industry. So you see Mark Monitor, I think, you know, recently got acquired. And there's a couple other things that are going on.
Fairwinds got acquired, Mark Monitor got acquired, and CSC got acquired, all by what is it called? Comlon.
So I'll just say that while the domain market is doing really well right now, you're seeing a lot of consolidation in the industry. And then you saw the parking thing from Google just basically kick the legs out of a couple of players.
Good night.
And because it's very competitive, a hyper-competitive industry, margins are razor thin. Trying to figure out what your angle is in here, it is not easy. I think, you know, so Unstoppable is coming in here, and we have the advantage of being able to build the tech ourselves from the ground up, right? And so I think if you look at, like, back-end systems, there are maybe, I mean, I feel like there's less than 10 new people who are going to be doing it in this next round, and Unstoppable is one of those. I think we're the only one in the US, right? So if you're a US-based company and you want to work with another US-based company for running some of your infra, like we're the only new option that you have. And then to also say, looking at these other companies, and I'm not going to name names here, but the reason they're going up for fire sale is because the business economics don't make any sense, right? And so like they have way more headcount than they need to run their systems.
Way more, yeah.
And then the systems that they're running are very finicky. Right. Like they break and they cause issues, and they don't have really basic functionality that you would expect from any traditional like SaaS company. And that causes all sorts of problems. And so, you know, there's a lot of opportunity here for us because we're in this industry. But at the same time, it is a tough market. And we all know who the big winners are. Right. Like the big players in this industry are very happy with how things are playing out. And I think it's working for their goal. So anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I guess, we got a few minutes still, so we got some time. Let's talk about anything else that you guys have done to date that is interesting. Any announcements that we want to talk about? I mean, you guys have,
The big one is AfterNIC. So we finally got into the AfterNIC, fast transfer network. Working with GoDaddy.
Billy, give him some applause. Make some things happen.
Yeah. That's big news for us, you know, support buy and sell. I think it's, you know, it's also another validation for Unstoppable, right? There's not a lot of registrars that have fast transfer network. We're happy to work with GoDaddy to get in there and have that as part of the product. And now we feel like we have all the basics you need in order to be a domainer, like, cause you need to have that distribution on AfterNIC if you're going to be a registrar, I think. And, you know, we've been working on other products too. You see us come out with LTO. That's been very popular. For us, we are replicating a lot of the features that you would need in order to sell high value domain names, right? So we're going to start pushing more into those markets next year. We have 10-year terms on the LTO. We don't have special fees on top of them. We have more innovations coming in that. I think that's a big deal. Our marketplace is starting to get sales, right? So it's super hard to launch a new marketplace, but we're having more sales, you know, month on month. And, you know, you can co-list on Afternic while also being listed with us. A low fee structure, 3% if it sells through us. You can put your contact information, you can put your Telegram, whatever, self-brokerage landers. We don't get in your way of your sales. So, and we're just going to keep pushing and pushing in that direction. So, and then I do want to say thank you to all the domainers who have tried us this year, right? We really appreciate you guys coming and using our product. We've got a lot of feedback. There's some basic things we had to do better, like bulk actions. We've been really improving that. So you can select hundreds of domains at a time and make updates on your name service, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, without you guys coming and telling us, hey, this is screwed up, right? We wouldn't know. And I was actually joking with Brady because the other week Brady was like, man, Matt, every week I come into work and I feel like there's something else that's broken. And I feel like it's even worse than it was 6 months ago. And I said, Brady, the reason why you felt like it was better 6 months ago is because it was so bad they couldn't even use it, right? And I was like, the reason why we have so many customer support tickets now is like, it's good enough where they can actually use it. So now they're like complaining about, you know, further down problems. Whereas like 6 months ago, we didn't have any problems with people doing bulk actions on a self domains because you couldn't do them, right?
Yeah, I think I've noticed we've had much sharper domainers start using us recently. And so their critiques are much more, you know, savvy. Yeah. And the bar has been raised. But yeah, when I talk to these guys, like, what's that?
So that's what you want.
Yeah, exactly. We're moving on up. I think I saw on NamePros, we are number 3 in the polling for 2025 best registrar. We weren't even top 10 last year around this time. So we've come a long way. And when I talk to these guys, you know,
and I think you guys were in the polling for the ICA Trailblazer Award. You guys were.
Yeah, I saw Matt got nominated.
I voted
there.
For
yeah.
you. I put you in the first position.
Nice.
Matt is a nominee.
So. You know, they reached out to me about that, and on ICA, and I was like, man, I don't think I deserve this, guys. Like, let us because next year's gonna make this year look like kids play, right? Because like we have all the underlying stuff. Like, I want to win the Innovators Award next year, but maybe we'll win it both. We'll see.
Yeah. They're gonna think you.
Next year should be easy.
Listen, trust me, it feels good when you get a year after year after year after year.
They're going to dispute it, Matt. They think you just bribed everyone with $10,000 in discounted transfers to win that award. But yeah, I agree. We've like set the foundation now, and it, you know, at this point we can actually build something net new for the industry now that we've got the, you know, the nuts and bolts covered. But when I talk to domainers, some of the, you know, critical, you know, feedback that they give us is they just love how accessible we are. I think both Matt and I are very active on X. You know, I'm easy to find and hard to bother. I think Matt's DMs are going to blow up after he announced that he's getting into building his own portfolio.
Oh, this is the thing you haven't learned yet, is that when people think that you are a liquidity exit for domain names, man, it's going to rain. It's going to rain.
Well, especially when you put a request and you're like, hey, looking for a oneword.com domain that could be used for this, this,
and
this.
Don't ever post that, ever. And then,
I think you can do it just for engagement. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like.
And you never actually get one word suggestions either.
Well, that's what I'm saying. No, literally, it's like reading comprehension.
I know you want .com, but what about like my neighbor's dog shit on my lawn .xyz? And you're like, that's a oneword or .com. And they're like, yeah, but it's so good.
Love those guys. But people tell us like they love that we're accessible. They love that we're like personable and like not just this nameless, faceless corporation that they normally have experience with in the industry. And I mean, we ship really fast. I'm like, you know, like the time it takes for me to like communicate feedback from domainers to our team and get a new feature shipped or a bug fixed is generally like, you know, on the order of days, whereas in these other companies, it's like months to years. I think people really appreciate it. And they also like that we are very much streamlined around domainers' experience. You know, we're not like a GoDaddy where we're upselling, you know, email and your Microsoft Office and all these other things that aren't really pertinent to domainers. And this like laser focus for domainers, I think, makes the product a lot cleaner and the experience a lot nicer. So yeah, it's been great to like see the progress over the past year.
Yeah, 100%. Well, look, and I think being accessible, being approachable, I mean, these things, they sound like common sense. Like, of course, that's a good thing, right? But, you know, not everybody does that. And, but there's also a reason why
common
even
sense
a name
ain't that common.
Yeah, common sense is not that common. And, but you even see it with like GoDaddy had 30 people at NamesCon, right? I mean, they wouldn't if it didn't matter, right? And, you know, and it's why the ICA matters and, you know, those kinds of things and the opportunities to get out. And especially if your business is catering to getting feedback from, you know, interacting with, like, you know, you've got to get out and meet your customers where they are, right? And, you know, you guys, I think, have done a very good job with that. And again, the mentality of recognizing like, okay, we came into this thinking that, you know, we were going to revolutionize it because Web3 was, but you're still also tapping into those things and you guys have the foundation for that. Not to turn this into an unstoppable ad, but, you know, it's this idea of like, you know, what is it? You guys say domain names with superpowers, 18 ways to use your domain. And, you know, it's like, so all that can come. But you've got to get it. You've got to, you know, again, meet your customers where they are and start at the center. So, which to me just seems to be the approach and it seems like it's working. So, which is super cool. I mean, you're doing the spaces all the time too, right? Is that a weekly thing or what's your deal there?
Yeah, been rough the past couple of weeks as I've been traveling Domain Days Dubai, then ICANN Dublin, and then NamesCon back to back to back. But usually do that, yeah, every week. I've been doing, you know, Josh Reason comes on occasionally, so we chit chat, and it's good to, you know, I serve as the dumb noob domainer in the room with like the business perspective, but it's good because I can ask the noob questions that, you know, the audience is probably chomping at the bit to ask the pros. But yeah, they're a lot of fun. Those are on X most Fridays, so. Yeah, they've been good, and it's also just a great vessel for me to solicit feedback and for people to come up and ask questions, and all that gets put back into the engineering roadmap so that we can, you know, get the things that people need much faster.
Yeah, it's awesome, dude. I think it's super cool, and obviously, a huge shout out to Josh. He's definitely been doing his thing. He does the DNX spaces, and you know, and everything he's been doing on DNX is fantastic. And, you know, there's probably some opportunity at some point to even talk to you guys about some partner type things that we could probably work on together and figure out some things to overlap there where it makes sense as well. And, but it starts by having good people that, you know, have the right approach as to what they're trying to do and then figure out where that fits in the roadmap and all that good stuff.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high-value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
So speaking of roadmap, what, you know, because I know Matt said, you know, you guys have pretty excited about what's coming in the next year, even more excited about what might be beyond that. So, you know, so you've got the Afternic integration, which is awesome. You know, you guys are focused on what's going to happen with the new GTLD round. That is going to be super interesting. And obviously stacking and stacking more and more domains under management. So what would you say are the things you're most excited about in kind of the near to long term as far as what you're specifically kind of got your hands in?
Sure. It looks like Matt dropped, but we'll get him back on hopefully soon.
Here's the thing. For the people who are listening and not watching, they don't even know that he's not here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there we go. Well, we are, I mean, I think one thing I've been telling the team internally is I'd like to go into recovery mode. You know, it's infrastructure month at Unstoppable because we were rushing, getting Afternic integration out, getting LTO, getting some of the like really big important features out. And along the way, there's just like a trail of open threads that we need to tie up. So just polishing various things throughout the product to make it much easier to use, bulk actions, reliability. You know, polishing the landers a bit, making sure that you can customize whether it's bin or have a min offer, only LTO, these kinds of, you know, basic things that we need to button up. And then going forward, we also have a bunch of, you know, critical features that are at other registrars that we haven't fully integrated into the product yet. So one of those is backorders. We have free backorders for folks that are in our Domainer Club, but it's a bit tucked away in the product, not so easy to find. So pulling that, you know, more prominently into search, being able to show, you know, CETO versus Afternic pricing versus unstoppable pricing in search. I think there's a lot we could do to, you know, provide more data, like how many TLDs a certain keyword is registered in when you're searching, and, you know, the age of a domain, things like this that domainers really want, you know, at their fingertips while they're, you know, searching around and looking to acquire a domain. Auctions, we've been looking at DAX from Dynadot. So there's a couple of those things that are going to come to the fore that'll make it just a better experience for buying domains at Unstoppable. Yeah, so we've got our hands full for the next couple of months buttoning all of that up.
Oh, dude, it's awesome. And yeah, you can tell you guys are, you know, more domainer focused. You mentioned bulk edit, you know, and stuff multiple times on the show, right? Which is, you know, obviously you're dealing with folks that are dealing more and just, you know.
I always think that it's interesting. Like when we have, probably not as much these days, because a lot of the real OG domain portfolio owners who own the biggest portfolios, generally speaking, don't come that often to the shows, although a lot of them did show up for this last NameCon. But back in the day, you know, we used to joke that basically when, let's say, even just the top 300 people in the industry got together at one of these domain conferences, we cumulatively own somewhere around 14 to 20% of the entire internet. And so, you know, it's kind of that 80-20 principle. It's like, you know, 80% of the domain registrations are with the 20% of the people that registered them.
Yeah. It's very funny, you know, talking to those guys at NamesCon, because we can't offer that kind of product to, you know, the giga whales in the industry, right? These guys are optimizing their costs so much that they have their own accreditation often. You know, their bulk requirements are astronomical. They need financing. They need all of these things. And so our sweet spot right now is like the amateur to pro domainer with a portfolio of like up to 20,000 names. And of course, we're getting better all the time. But it's funny to see that sweet spot. One other product that we're rolling out now that I forgot to mention is you can list without transferring in. So you can use our landers. If you just want to, you know, dip your toe into Unstoppable and you're like, who are these crypto guys? Do I really trust them with my domains?
I only have one request. That's it. One. I just want somebody to bring me back to like 2021 OpenSea monkey trading, but for domain names. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just want like fucking every day to wake up and go, what's the floor? I want to know the floor. I want to be buying. I want to be selling. I want to be trading. Like, just bring that feeling back. Those were the strongest vibes ever.
I love the degeneracy. That's, you know, that's something Matt and I talk about a lot. Is like, how do we be the, you know, the fun gambling online casino for domains?
Yeah, like,
right. So, like,
little,
I think
a little pumped up fun for domains, a little OpenSea for domains. You know what I'm saying?
Thankfully, like, Matt's gone, so we can talk more about fractionalization freely. But yeah, I mean, just imagine how much more fun it would be. If you could, you know, day trade domains, do event-based trading, you know, whether it's like, you know, America Party, you know, Elon launches America Party, or, you know, OpenAI, you know, announces some new funding round or partnership or whatever product. And you can, I always talk about domains as like the original prediction market, right? Because language encapsulates literally everything. And you can, we would see these domains, you know, serving as call options on, you know, a variety of different interests. And it's, even like cultural things, like the newest Gen Z slang drops, you know, and suddenly you're talking about glazing and, you know, no cap and whatever. And these domains can like capture all of this, you know, societal energy, and then you can bet on them. Right. So I think there's a ton that we could do there. And, you know, being domainer centric, we really do focus on like making it much more of a social network, right? Like, we want domainers on Unstoppable interacting with one another, being able to share their seller storefronts and poach domains from one another. And so there's a lot of stuff we're thinking about there. But yeah, we've got these lists for sale without transferring in. You can use that, like, you know, escrow.com, DynaPay and AtomPay, those similar features, but only 3% fees. And then, of course, you have the 10-year LTO terms that we offer, which makes it hyper flexible for people. So yeah, lots to do to button all of that up. But yeah, I'm glad someone else is on board for Degenerate Domainer Paradise at Unstoppable.
Y'all, I'm so for it. I can't even tell you.
Yeah,
I would quit my day job and I would just do domain degeneracy all day, every day. Like, I'd be so about it.
Yeah, well, I'm not even exaggerating.
I would be a complete. But we need that real time, you know, dopamine. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're missing. Mm.
Yeah, truly.
I need that real time dopamine hit.
Yeah,
I think that, and that goes though to one of the challenges, I think, with domains. It'll be interesting to see if how that can get solved, which is, you know, the tail on process, from everything from how long it takes to transfer a domain to, you know, you're talking about selling a domain.
It's just gonna take time. You got to get these, all the names that people want to trade degenerately, you got to get them under your registrar. Once you do that, you basically create a proxy across the board for all of it. Now you basically can do real-time trading, because all you're doing is changing a name on a ledger. You're not going through the EPP process. And so you just have to create this proxy layer in between the EPP process and the degeneracy. And that way you're basically shielding ICANN and the whole, you know, the snail mail process from the degenerate real-time dopamine hit. And just, you know, you just got to create the proxy layer. And so as long as that stuff's in your registrar, or you create your own fast transfer network within your, you know, associated with your registrar, and then you have some proxy control layer, that's it. You know, just, let's go.
And the other thing unlock there is once you create fractions of these domains, then you can securitize them. You can bundle those together, you know, into the S&P 500 of blue chip domains, right?
Yeah, welcome to the club. I've been talking about this for a decade, but
of course.
It's you and me, but like, there's nobody else. Nobody gives a shit.
And I mean, that's really compelling, because, you know, I think about marketing at Unstoppable, right? And what does it look like to do viral marketing for a domain registrar? Well, it's actually kind of difficult, because the product is investing. One is scary. Right. There's a particular mode of people. But if you're going after the, you know, the guys on Wall Street Bets, like, these guys need the quick dopamine, right? They're apes. They need to make, like, they need the simplest on ramp into, like, betting and mortgaging their house on domains as possible. And if you have, you know, an index of fractionalized domains, then you can do that in one click. And you can trust that, like, whoever's curating that index has done the due diligence to make sure that you're getting good broad exposure to the asset class. And then, you know, grandma can come in and get exposure to domains if she so chooses. And you don't have to sit on expireddomains.net and click through and know all the ins and outs of SEO. Yeah,
I mean,
you can just one click get on board.
A history of the real estate investment trust, right? I think that's probably the path that this takes. And, you know, that's been my path that I've been working towards. I've been trying to. It's the reason I've invested into companies like yours, like Valley Road, like many of the companies that I've invested in over the years, is that I see these as this little keys that need to come together to create this industry that we can then move to an institutional level investment grade, you know, asset class. And, you know, that's what it took with real estate investment trusts. It was Sam Zell. When Sam Zell started in the real estate investment trust world, it was a backwater. It was like investing in the pink sheets. That's why it was the equivalent of investing in pink sheet stocks today, penny stocks. And he literally single-handedly turned that into a, in, you know, institutional investment grade asset class that today is like in most portfolios because they pay great dividends. And I see that as the future of domains. And as I've said before, as the value of commercial real estate implodes because nobody comes to an office anymore, nobody goes to a retail store anymore, everybody shops online, everybody shows up on a Zoom, you know, people work remotely more and more and more and more. And that's going to continue to perpetuate and it's going to amplify. And the more that that happens, the value implodes in commercial real estate and it gets shifted into digital real estate. And so that's the rails that we're on. And you just have to understand that and then see where we're going. And then, you know, we are the blockades. The blockades are the EPP system. The blockades are, fractionalization. The blockades are insurance. The blockades are, you know, indexes. The blockades are, you know, these various things. Credit is a big blockade. It's probably the biggest. So, we just got to keep clearing the way and, right now it's an uphill battle, but once we get to the top, it's all downhill.
Yeah. You mentioned credit and Matt mentioned, you know, he thinks loans are a big gap in the domains industry. What would your interest be in taking out a loan against your domain portfolio or perhaps using it
standard LTO business lending rates? Mm-hmm. Super low LTV. Super low LTV loan to value ratios. And it's, you know, conservative, pretty standard business loan rates, 7%, 8%, maybe even 10. Like, I'd be taking loans, I'm not even big on debt. I don't even believe in debt, but I borrow against my domain portfolio to buy more domains. I borrow against my domain portfolio to buy, whatever, Bitcoin or something else. But, I think that there's an enormous market there. But, right now that market has a bottleneck, and that bottleneck is there's really only one or two guys that do lending, and they lend at 15% and extremely low LTVs, and they're super selective, and it's a very manual process, and it's a process that takes weeks. So, shout out to my boys at Domain Capital, those are my boys, that's fam, but I love you, but you can only grow that business so far.
Yeah. And I think like productizing all of that and turning it into one click instead of selling with lawyers and bespoke contracts and all that stuff.
And you own the registrar, so it's like, it's easy. Like, okay.
Super straightforward. Exactly. Yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity there. I think it also remains to be seen if, just like you said, do you want to lever up with loans and debt that accrues interest, or do you want to liquidate some of your equity in the domain in order to raise capital? And so that's like the loans versus fractionalization. Yeah. I think with the unpredictability of sales in domains, you said you've only seen a down year in one of 20 plus years, which
but
is pretty solid.
But on any individual domain, the market is completely unpredictable and there's, maximum, entropy.
Yeah. Points to, doing either loans or fractionalization on a portfolio of domains where you can amortize the risk over several domains and everything is just much more predictable. When
in
you
my
have,
opinion,
larger numbers
alluded to it. That's the problem we had with Rally Road is that we only took three names public. We need a much bigger sample size. People need to have shares in 100 domains, 1,000 domains, a basket of 100 domains, an index of 1,000. We need much larger sample size because, the average portfolio sells about 2%. And that's if it's a good portfolio. A great portfolio might sell 4% annually. And so if you have three names, you're shooting darts you're shooting darts with a blindfold. It's
darts in the dark.
There's no predictability in terms of, sell-through rate.
Yeah. And point being, domains need more liquidity. There's several different methods that people are trying to accomplish that. But these assets deserve, you know, modern financialization and to be able to be leveraged as one component in a broader portfolio and to have all the requisite tools to maximally utilize them. And that's easier when it's on chain and you've got open source infrastructure and you're connected to other capital, in a native way on chain. Yeah. And so, you know, I think we're in the right position to capitalize on a lot of that.
Yeah, no, that's well said. And I think that gives us a good sort of exit point for the show. We do need more liquid swords to quick Wu-Tang shout out, you know. And I think you guys are in a great position to do that, you know, and while also still incorporating, you know, some other cool, really cool features in and around Web3 that we haven't even really fully seen developed yet. So, all good stuff, man. Well, it's cool to see it and we're glad to be along for the ride. And thanks so much for being on the show today, dude. This was great. I know we lost Matt a little while ago, but you know, he got to contribute some content before he left. So we'll take it. But we appreciate him too. And I guess before we close out, Drew, you got anything else to say before we go?
That's it. I think that was thorough. And I'm excited to see this roadmap keep playing out. I love the innovation. I love that, you know, you guys are creating, you know, a little friction in the business and people are paying attention now. And I love to see it. This is what we need. This is what markets need.
Yeah. And actually eliminating friction is a big part of what these guys are doing, which I think is most important. And that's it. Friction down, degeneracy up. You know, that's the that's the goal. All right. Well, listen, Brady, thank you so much, man. Appreciate you. To the audience, he's not a hard guy to find. Hit him on X, hit him on LinkedIn. Let him know the good, the bad, the ugly. Again, that's something we talked about on the show. That's a and for them, it's they're selling you something. For us, we're not hard to find either, but all we're going to do is give you a refund for what you paid to watch or listen to the show if you've got any issues with us. But, they'll be more accountable to you guys, which is great for y'all. Anyway, to the audience, without you, there is no us. So thank you so much for tuning in today. We appreciate y'all. And we'll see everybody here next time on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, y'all.
See you guys.